glory, power, and authority released. Today's sermon title is Glory to Glory. Glory to Glory. Stay with me. Glory to Glory. One more time. Glory, glory to glory. Now, just a brief recap of last week, one of the things where we finished. Last week, we finished with this statement that the Spirit of the Father, who is the Holy Spirit, and He is also the glory of the Father. The Spirit of the Father is the Holy Spirit, and He is also the glory of God. Now, the two scriptures we want to bring your attention to. It's in Romans 6 and verse 4, and it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Say, Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And then the second scripture is Romans 8:11, and it goes like this. If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, we've just read that the glory of the Father raised Christ, and now it says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead. So we understand from this that the Spirit is the glory of the Father. The Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life, will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. All right. So let me just demonstrate this briefly. Matt, I want you to come out here. I want you to be Father. Tim, come out and join us. I want you to be Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. And let's have Brian come out and be Jesus. So the Father stand closest to me. And Jesus at the end. All right. So hopefully you can see what I'm going to demonstrate. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Basic concept. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Jesus dies. So sit down, do something. Jesus dies. He's in the grave. He's in the grave. He's taken your sin and my sin. He's in the grave. He's dead. He is graveyard dead. He seriously is dead. Separated from, he's just not hiding. He is graveyard dead. Spirit man has gone to Hades. His body is in the grave. Father says to Holy Spirit, it's enough. It's enough now. He suffered enough. 3 days, 3 nights. I want you to raise him. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Father, goes in and quickens his mortal body and raises Jesus. Raise him up. Raise him up. Give Jesus a hand clap. Okay. Now listen. Listen to the scripture. See? It says here that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, Christ was raised from the dead by who? Glory of the Father. Now, I'm going to show you that this is the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says this. If the Spirit of Him, that's the Spirit of the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. We understand now? We got it? We sure we got it? Now listen, let's finish off this verse. Now this applies to us. Now we understand who the glory of the Father is and what He did, but now what does it mean to us? Watch what it says. See the word if? You see the word if? That begins, the verse 11 begins with if. If what? If. If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. If He's living in you, which means He's not living in everybody. Otherwise, it wouldn't say if. If He's living in you, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it didn't say if Jesus is in your heart. It said if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then what? Then what? What's going to happen? Then He who raised Christ from the dead, He who raised Christ the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies as He did to Jesus. What the Spirit did for Jesus, He will do for you if He's living in you. If he's not in living in you, you're going to stay dead. Your mortal body will stay dead. You'll miss everything God has for you. You miss it because you rejected him. You rejected him. You understand that? You reject the Spirit and don't allow the Spirit to dwell in you. Because after all, we know better. Don't we? Yeah, we know better. Tongues is not for today. You don't have to have the Spirit to be a Christian, right? Just like you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. If you're telling me you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, then you're also saying I don't need the Spirit. That's what you're saying. Because you can do this on your own, right? Completely on your own. You don't need the Spirit. You don't need church. You don't need the Spirit. Your mortal body staying dead. Because if he dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. How? How? How's he going to quicken? Help me with it. Through what? Through what? Not through your church denomination. Not through your membership certificate. Not because you were a tither or gave to the church. Not because you're a kind person. Not because you're merciful. Not because you took a dog from the SPCA. No. No. He's going to quicken you by the Spirit that lives in you. And if the Spirit is not in you, he can't and will not quicken you. Everybody say, thank God for his Spirit that lives in me. My body will be quickened in Jesus' name. Give them a round of applause. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Now, Jesus, according to the scripture, is the sole expression of the glory of God. Watch this verse, Hebrews 1:3. He, talking about Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God. If you look this up in other translations, it says this. He is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus has the brightness of God's own glory. Do you remember Jesus said this, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it? And he said, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. And then he went this far and he said, if you've seen me, finish it off. You've seen the Father. And then he called himself, I am. People say, well, he never said he was God. Yeah, I am means I'm God. That's what it means. I am. Jesus said, I am. He called himself God. In fact, he called himself equal with God. And he said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the exact representation of the Father. He is the exact, when you see him, you know him, you'll know that he is the express, he is the sole expression of the glory of God. But I thought you just said, Pastor Henry, that the Holy Spirit was. Well, I'm glad you picked up on that. Because I got news for you. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. They're one. He said this of his disciples. He said, I will come and live with you. In fact, he said, I and the Father will come and live in you. Did he not say that? And he said, even as we are one, spoke about the Father and the Holy Spirit. He said, even as we are one, he wants us to be one. And so the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. They're one. So Jesus says, I, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So this means that every manifestation of the Holy Spirit is, in fact, to reveal and to glorify Jesus. I'm going to let that sink in a bit. Every manifestation of the Holy Spirit its purpose is to reveal and glorify Jesus. So what happened this morning in our service, the people being healed and being filled and being touched, was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about it. That manifestation can also be classified or referred to as the glory of God. You see, we don't have to see a cloud to know the glory is here. And if you don't know and understand, then you won't realize, wait a minute, we've just been in the presence of the glory. Yeah. You see, these things that happen in people's lives, these changes that occur, these words of encouragement, these things that God knows about you that nobody else does, those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit which brings glory to Jesus. Everything the Spirit does always points back to Jesus. Doesn't point to man, points to Jesus. Manifestation of the Holy Spirit, as we saw here today, his purpose is always to glorify Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in complete unity. They're one. They're in complete unity. So they are in unity of purpose. They don't have separate purposes. They have the same purpose. Now, we often refer to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and call them nine gifts. In Corinthians, we call them the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. In actual fact, they're ten. They're ten gifts. The first gift, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues, that is given to every single believer, and usually given to a believer that is a baby Christian, someone who has just been born again, maybe haven't even been baptized in water yet, but you have just been born again. You know why? Because you have no idea how to pray whatsoever. You may have ended up praying to Father Christmas. You don't know. All you know is God touched you. You got saved. You know something is real. And God says, okay, I'm gonna give you a gift of how to pray. I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to give you my power right off the bat. So you know what? Because have you ever seen little babies, in the wildlife? You see little mothers of all species. Have you seen them? I was watching a show. It was about a two-hour show of Africa. And the little babies get born. And how the mother protects those babies. It doesn't matter who's coming against, man. It doesn't matter who's coming against. Mother will get in between trouble and babies. And that's what God does when he gives you your Holy Spirit so early, because you're such a baby. You're stumbling around vulnerable to Satan, his demons. He can chomp you and beat you and kill you and do whatever. And he just wants to rip you apart as quickly as he can. Father gives you his power and his presence so that you can just cry out to the Father. How do you cry out to the Father? Okay, whatever. Just cry out. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to pray. Just go to the Spirit. God pray. God will pray right to you. Okay? So remember that. Remember that. The longer you wait as a believer to receive the Holy Spirit, the more difficult it becomes. And the reason it becomes difficult is your head gets filled with religious tradition and what other people have said, and it's not for everybody, and this person said that, and you heard this person, and you read this book, and some other Christian tried and didn't get it, and after a while, you got so much junk in your head. And you come as a baby Christian, and you're so open because you know God touched you. Man, I just love with Jesus, love with Jesus. Jesus, give me everything you got. Lay it on me. Boom. And there you go. All right? So you don't resist. You get hard and brittle and cracky. Now, the work, the great work of the Holy Spirit, the great work, the greatest work of the Holy Spirit is to change us, Jesus' body, his church, his bride, his believers, from glory to glory. Into a perfect representation of Jesus. If you don't understand that, you miss entirely your Christian experience and your Christian life. You don't get born again or get saved and then step out the race. You've just started the race. You move deeper with God, you go further with God, you go high with God, the Holy Spirit is working, changing you. How many want more than you have now? How many want to go deeper, further, higher? So listen to me, there's no finish line for you. Turn and tell somebody there's no finish line. Turn and tell somebody else, you're in a race with no finish. Yeah? You got to grasp that. You're in a race with no finish. What happens if you stop running in a race? Do you get passed up? People go right past you? It happens in the Christian walk as well. It happens in the Christian walk. The only way I can try and explain this to you, the help that you get from the Holy Spirit is this. On the recent trip, Cindy, myself, Pastor Jackie, going through all the airports, LA, Dubai, Johannesburg, Cape Town, all over the place. These airports are very, very big. Very big. I mean, I think Dubai might be the biggest airport I've ever been in my life. It's huge. So we have to get a wheelchair for Jackie. She doesn't like being in a wheelchair, but it's something that she's got to do in order to stay with the pace. Otherwise, we won't make the connection. So somebody always helps us, pushes the wheelchair. Sin and I got our carry-ons, and we're walking at a pace. Believe it or not, Jackie always turns to the person pushing her and say, pick up the pace. They're trying to be, is this true, Cindy? Trying to be kind to this lady. They're walking at a good pace. Jackie wants this experience. This. Until she's got this going on, she's not happy. So Cindy and I mean, we're beating down. We're trying to stay up with the guy faster. Okay, we're staying. And then thank God there's a long, flat escalator. I mean, we look down like this. It's like forever. So we get on the escalator. Everybody else gets on there. No. Not Cindy and I. What do we do when we get on the escalator? Everybody say walk. Say keep walking. Turn and tell someone to keep walking. And then we keep walking. And we walk in the escalator. And we're like, bye, Jackie. See ya. And she's pressing with those guys. Faster. They're beating me. Faster. And you know, all we're doing is keeping the same pace we did before we got on the escalator. We haven't accelerated anything. We're just staying pace. And that's what it means to be lifted up on the wings of the Spirit. And you keep the same pace and suddenly, this is effortless. I know. This is effortless because it's all by the Spirit. You're walking the same pace as you were in life. But suddenly you're just flying past everybody else. Anybody that's standing, you go, woo, okay. We're moving. Say this, the Holy Spirit has lifted me up. We're making supernatural pace. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Of course, when we get to the end, we wait for Jackie. Say, I'm being changed by the Spirit from glory to glory. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, it says, and all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the God, are constantly being transfigured or changed. Constantly. We say constantly. Constantly being transfigured or changed into His very own image in ever increasing splendor. If you are the same today as you were yesterday, you're backslidden. Ever increasing splendor, continuously growing and increasing in God. And it says, from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory, one degree to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit of God is busy doing this in you. The Spirit of God is at work in you, bringing about a change. Now, the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 1, was poured out. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come. So receiving the Holy Spirit now has become so easy because He has been poured out. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said this, but I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. Jesus either told the truth or He lied. And also He said, you will be a Christian and then the power of God will come upon you. Two different things. You will be a Christian, there's apostles and disciples, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, I found that in a different translation from the Greek on this particular, and I was so excited to see it. It reads like this. It can be interpreted this way, that I promise you this, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will seize power. You will seize power. Now, that's a good one to write down in your notes I know you all keep making notes and bring your journals to work, to church with you, and all the books. I can hear the pages turning. Really good. Write that one down. You shall seize power. But it also can be translated like this. You will be seized with power. You will be seized with power. Not only will you seize power, but you will be seized with power. Power is going to take a hold of you. Hallelujah. Now, the story unfolds in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. It goes like this. Peter stood up with the 11, that's the 11 apostles, and he raised his voice, big crowd. So he spoke to the crowd. He said, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men, talking about those who got filled with the Spirit, were not drunk. They were falling all over, like they were this morning. Falling all over, crying, weeping, sighing, laughing, just like a bunch of drunk people. Yeah. So he says they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel prophesied that this would happen. So this is that. Everybody say, this is that. Say it again. This is that. Prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he said, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Not just some. Not just on those who attend the Promised Church. All people will have access to the outpouring of the Spirit if they desire it. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, for those who don't think women ought to have this or have any part in ministry. Men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Clearly, God expects women to prophesy. I mean, that's a sink in. Believe it or not, there's some people who think women ought to be quiet in church and not to say anything. Now, we are all carriers of God's presence and of His glory. Who was God's glory? Holy Spirit. Where is He? In me. So you are a carrier of the presence of God, because God is Holy Spirit. That's God. You are a carrier of Him and of His glory. So what we have got to do to develop, we have got to become God inside minded. Say that again. God inside minded. In other words, you ought to think wherever you go, God is in me. You ought to be thinking, God is in me. You don't leave God at the door when you walk into some places. God goes with you. God is with you wherever you go. Morning when you wake up, night when you go to bed, watching TV, God is in you. You might even hear inside of you, change the channel, I've had enough of this. All right, for those who caught it. Okay, moving on. What we've got to cultivate is an awareness of God's abiding presence. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He also said this. Remember, he spoke about the vine and the branches. And he said, he told us to abide in Him, to take up residence, to permanently make our home in Him. And he also said, and I will do the same to you. So there's this combination like this. And he said, you know, the branch can't bear fruit of its own if it's not connected to the vine. So if you're looking for bring fruit as a Christian, then you've got to stay connected to the bride. You've got to stay close. You've got to be abided. That's why we emphasize so much of His presence and moving in His presence and seeking His presence, because that's what He promised. This comes down to intimacy. I know you've heard a lot about this. Reverend Jeremy Pearson, when he came here, spoke about it. Pastor Tim Noh spoke about it. And if you're watching this week, you would have heard Robert Morris from Gateway Church. He also was speaking about it. So, intimacy. This abiding presence of God and abiding awareness of God can only come as we develop intimacy. And this is in the context of our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You understand? He is a person. Jackie, when she used to drive, used to imagine Holy Spirit not only in her, but sitting next to her in the car. She would talk a conversation with Him All the way. Just chat, 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 chat. Personal relationship. If you're making notes, you might want to write this down. The momentary impartation of the glory can never satisfy those who are seeking an eternal river rising up within them that quenches the deepest desire for more of God. Did you get lost? Okay, get the recording, listen to it again. I'll say it one more time, so when you're listening to the recording, you know it's coming again. The momentarily, see, when we prayed for people this morning and at the All Anointing, there was a momentary impartation of His glory, correct? Momentary. But that can never satisfy those who are seeking an eternal river rising up within them that quenches the deepest desire for more of God. It is only that river that rises up within you that quenches that desire. You see, we all have the desire. We all have a desire for more of God. If I asked you today, you'd all raise your hand. Yes, more of it. Well, the quenching of that comes from the river that rises up. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water that quenches your thirst. Your thirst is for more of God. And so the intimacy with the Spirit, that intimacy that rises up into a river, it's great to be prayed for and it's awesome. We get the touch from God. But I tell you, you want to take it home with you. You want to take the glory home with you. You want to understand God is with you forever and He is in you and there's a river in you. And tomorrow morning or tonight, get up, go to pray. Fine, tap into that river. Let that river bubble up in you. Let it pray. Pray, let the river go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. And you will find a quenching that will come to you, a quenching of thirst. That is, and the quenching of the thirst is only the first thing. Because now hear this. See, the Father's heart, is for intimacy. And that's why He comes seeking those who worship Him in spirit and truth and draws near to those who choose to draw near to Him. The Father's heart is for intimacy. He wants intimacy with His children. There's not a parent here who doesn't want intimacy with their children. Not a parent. You want a close relationship that's warm, that's loving, that's intimate, that's caring, gentle, and kind. That's what you want with your children. You don't want obnoxious, fighting, strife, hair pulling out, screaming, swearing relationship. That's Satan. That's demonic. You don't want that. God the Father wants that intimate relationship with you. That's why Jesus said, if you will worship Him in spirit and the truth, the Father will come. And that's the reason why we start every Sunday morning in that room of spirit, worship, prayer, and we come right back in here and we continue. And the Father shows up. It's not a secret. It's not a secret formula. The Word told us what to do. And as we do that, the Father shows up. Make a decision today to satisfy the heart of God. It's within your power. You see, we ask God, do this for me, God, do that for me, God, do this for me. Do we ever stop and say, God, what do you want from me? Do we ever ask Him? God, what do you want from me? Well, serve me more, go to church more, do this more, give more. And that's all good. But what the Father really wants from you is, would you satisfy my heart and come and spend some time with me and be intimate with me? I don't want anything else. I want you.
That's right.
I just want you. I just want you. Just want you. Just want you. I just want you. Come and talk with me. Come and talk with me. Just come and talk with me. Don't bring any gifts. Don't bring any promises. Just come talk with me. Will you do it? It's within your power. Now, We have to come to a place where we start to give out what's in. Turn and tell somebody, give out what's in. In other words, when we're walking in this relationship with God and we understand that we've got the glory and God's presence and all this kind of stuff, we become God inside minus. Our focus must become on how do we release what's inside of us for the benefit of those outside of us. See, love, kindness, mercy, all of those things you release for people around you. Is that not true? People want to be loved. So you're loving, you're kind, and you're doing this for the people. But now we have to learn and understand how to stimulate our internal gift, the Holy Spirit, until He overflows in ministry. Because His presence in you is not only to satisfy you with an intimate relationship, but His presence in you is for you to be a flaming torch to minister to others. And you see, this intimacy that you have, this intimacy, as you develop this intimacy, you minister to others from the overflow. If you're here with the intimacy, it's not going to come out of here. If this is where your private time with God is, it's not going to come out of your mouth, no matter who you meet, no matter what condition they're in or what help they need. You're not going to be able to bring, you're not going to be able to rise up to this level to come out, because there's no overflow. Not overflow. You have to reach the place where it is overflowing out of you, overflowing out of you as a river. And then when you come in contact with other people, it splashes on them. If you're making notes, you must have a personal encounter with the glory of God. You must have a personal encounter with the glory of His presence so that you can become an encounter of His glory to those seeking more of God. You'll notice that I don't have notes. And this might be driving you crazy. Get used to it. Because I want you to start making your own notes. I want you to bring a book and paper and pen, whatever it is, or your iPad or whatever it is you write notes with. I want you to make notes. Because in writing down, it sinks in deeper into you. So I'm going to say this one more time in closing. We must have a personal encounter with the glory of God. When we've had a personal encounter of God's presence, we become a personal encounter for someone seeking more of God. You didn't have a personal encounter with God just to walk out and say, "Whoa, God shook me. You, that's awesome." And yes, it is. It is. But now He wants you to shake someone else. Whatever you've received, you must give. And when you give it, it multiplies and increases. You ain't been shooken yet until you've shooken someone else. Really? Wait until you stand in front of somebody to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Wait until you pray for someone to get saved. Wait until you pray for someone to get healed. You'll pray like you never prayed before. Because suddenly you'll think, is God hearing me? Because actually somebody's depending on my prayer. Somebody actually depends on my prayer. God, let it work. Yeah. Have an encounter so you can be an encounter. Amen? All right. Lord, we thank You for Your word.